discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God does not change. And that is the life that we have received. He says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything he is, that is why he told Abraham, he said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God himself.
Listen to Pastor Oti Boateng as Christ is magnified in you.
So grace gives us benefits. What's the first benefit? Sin. Psalm 103, verse 2. Who forgives all our iniquity. For what purpose? So that we can fellowship with him without any consciousness of sin. Okay? Then number two, who forgiveth all thy iniquities? Then he says, number two, who healeth all thy diseases? Who healeth? Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? So the next thing grace does is to heal all your diseases. God doesn't want you to lie down on a hospital bed sick for 17 months, sick and dying. Why doesn't he want that? He wants you to be up and standing, fellowshipping with him, talking with him, enjoying him. And God enjoys you more than you enjoy him, I tell you. Listen, God actually never left us. Even in sin, God was always pursuing us. It was man who had enmity with God, not God. God never thought of us as enemies. So if you look through the Bible, you see God pursuing man, God making plans to bring man back all the time. The Bible says that we were aliens, we were enemies in our mind. In our minds, we were enemies in our minds. In Colossians chapter 2, it talks about how that we were enemies. Can you show me that verse? Oh, I like it. Colossians 2, I think verse 11 or so. Can you show it to me? Enemies in your minds. It's one, rather. It says, and you that were sometimes alienated, 121, and enemies in your mind by your wicked works. So we were the ones who were enemies in our own minds by our wicked works, not because God didn't like us. Because God has always pursued man. From the day man fell, God sacrificed a lamb and covered the man with the skin of the lamb. He shed blood so the man can come back to him from the day he sinned. And it was God's mercy to sack Adam out of the Garden of Eden. Because if he had not sacked him, he would have partaken of the tree of life and he would have been irredeemable. He would have been a demon. And all his children would have been demons. Turn to the nearest possible demon by you and say, hello, possible demon. You would have been a devil. You would have been a demon by now. So it was God's love to sack man outside of the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. So that he can be redeemed. He says, and you that were sometime alienated enemies in your mind by wicked works. He says, yet now, today, he has reconciled. Let's read NLT. I think it will be better for us. It's so nice. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. By your evil thoughts and actions. Next verse. Verse 22. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. So before the Lord, you don't have a single fault. There's no single fault. We are in the Son's place now. Are you in the church? Yes. So he takes away your sicknesses and your diseases. Why? For what purpose? So that you can be healthy and strong. For him to enjoy. How many of you want to have a sick wife? A wife who is always in bed. You have to carry her everywhere you go. No. You want a healthy wife, right? Oh, God also wants a healthy wife. He wants a healthy wife. The aim and the goal of grace is relationship, fellowship. It's intimacy. That's it. I mean, you should never think about any other thing. That's it. Hallelujah. So in 1 Peter 2:24, once again, he says that who his own self bear our sins in his own body, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness. Then it says, by whose stripes ye were healed. That the grace of God brings you healing for all thy diseases, not some, all. Kidney failure. Are you a child of God? Kidney failure does not belong to you. Heart problems does not belong to you. Cancer does not belong to you. You see, there's a new blood type that you have. That blood type has eternal life in it. And that blood type cannot be affected by HIV, cannot be affected by cancer, it cannot be affected by any of those things. That's the type of blood you have. It has E in it. E. Eternal life. E-L. I tell you. That's your blood group now. Yeah, 1 John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Look at 1 John 1. This verse 11. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Then he says, children who are not born of blood. Have you seen it? But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe in his name. The word on is in. Those who believe in his name. Next, verse 13. This is which were born, not of blood. So what affects blood does not affect you. Are you a child of God? Because of how much God loves you. God doesn't want a sick wife. He doesn't want a sick wife. Oh. Do you know we are the bride of Christ? Oh, you don't know we are the bride of Christ? Husbands, love your sons, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. The church is a bride of Christ. He doesn't want a sick bride. So he pays for all your sickness. He gets sick on your behalf so that you will not be sick. Yes. He doesn't want you to have broken heart. Depression. None of those things. So he allowed himself to have broken heart for you. He allowed himself to be stricken because of you. Yes. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 4. Look at Isaiah 53 verse 4. You see, Adam loved his wife to the point that he died with her. Which was a less type of love. Jesus loves his wife to the point that he dies for her. Which is better? It's far higher. Greater love has no man than this, than that a man should lay down his life for his friends. He laid down his life. He didn't die with. Adam should have died for Eve. But in his selfishness, he died with her. Because Adam had not partaken of the fruit. It was Eve who had partaken of it. And nothing had happened. Nothing happened when Eve partook of it. Nothing happened. Because she was not the one the instruction was given to. It was given to Adam. But when Adam looked at his wife, and he looked at God. He said, I love you. I'll die with you. And then he also died. But here comes our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The husband of all husbands. He comes, sees the nature, the death of his bride. And then he says, I'll die for you. Come alive. I'm dying in your stead. That's what Jesus did. Look at this. It says, surely he has borne our griefs. The word, let's read NLT, lighter version, it will help us. That's what he did. Because of love. Because of love. God wants you face to face, eye to eye, nose to nose, lip to lip, chin to chin, forehead to forehead, every single day of your life. And he doesn't want anything to distract you. No sin, no sickness, none of those things. You're lying in a hospital bed for days and years. Why? Get up and start walking. When Peter saw Aeneas, he said, Aeneas, what are you doing in bed? Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Rise up. The guy was born again and he was sleeping on a stretcher. He was sick. When Peter saw him, he said, you know better. Come on, get up. Come on, get up. And the guy stood up. You are not supposed to be here. He says, yet it was our weaknesses he carried. Our weaknesses. Our sicknesses. What makes us sick and weak, he carried it. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. Whatever makes you sorrowful in your mind, depression. God doesn't want you to be depressed. Thinking that you're feeling like you have to kill yourself. Nobody loves you. Nobody likes you. No. God has loved you with an everlasting love. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God. A punishment for his own sins. But it was not. It was actually our sin that put him there. Can you show us more different versions? He himself took. Jesus took our sicknesses. Matthew chapter 8. Oh, do you love Jesus? Monda Hashana Mande. Matthew 8, verse 17. Yes. Look at all that Jesus has done. I can't even exhaust the thing. It's plenty. Plenty for what? For fellowship. For intimacy. Plenty. Just for fellowship. What a husband. The Paul said, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Yeah. Our husband is a jealous husband. And every act of his is an act of jealousy. He wants your attention 24/7, I tell you. Oh, yes. Yeah. That is why he will give you a good husband, natural husband, and give you a good natural wife. So that you don't have distractions and you don't have problems, and focus on him. Or you can be assured it's part of the blessings we have in Christ. The blessing of good marriage is part of it. So that you are not depressed, like your husband is going to the point that you are so depressed, you don't know what to do, you feel like running away. No, none of those things. Say, I have the best. God loves me too much to give me something that is not right. You should believe in the love of the Father. I'm coming there. I'm jealous over you. Go back to Matthew 8:17. It says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself, not someone, he himself, as our jealous husband, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He took it. That cancer was taken by Jesus on the cross of Calvary. You don't need to be sick anymore. Yeah. He took. Why? Because of how much he loves you. So that he can have your attention 24/7. Are you in the church? Next blessing. Next benefit of grace. The first one is removes sin, takes away iniquity. The second one is heals you of all your diseases. The third one, Psalm 103. We are in verse 3 now, or 4. Verse 4 now. Okay. Psalm 103, verse 4. Let's shift from verse 3 into verse 4 so that we can understand it more. Okay. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? That it says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Let's read Amplified. Grace is doing all these things, has done all these things for you. Who redeems your life from the pit and corruption? What is the pit? Hell, death, the law, Satan, guilt and condemnation. All these things are found in this verse. It says, who redeems your life from the pit and corruption? Anything that will destroy your life, he has taken you away from it. That's the blessing of grace. The grace of God gives us benefits. Jesus comes to do this work. What does he do? He does the work of redeeming us, taking us away from sin, guilt. Of course, we've handled sin already. But Satan, look at Satan. Satan himself was reduced to nothing. Satan had a say in the life of humanity because of the law of commandments that was given. So Jesus comes to come and deal with the law. Okay? So in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Look at Colossians 2, verse 13. It says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. We've dealt with that, right? Now, next verse. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Which handwriting of ordinances was against us? The law. Jesus blotted it out and nailed it, this, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Jesus nailed the Ten Commandments, because the Ten Commandments were against all of humanity. The strength of sin is what? You cannot escape sin if you are going to do it by the law. No man, therefore, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the knowledge of the law is the knowledge of sin. You cannot. He says, if you keep all and break one, you are guilty of all. Yes. Sin, the law was not given to bring man to righteousness. It was given to precipitate sin. That's what the law was given for. Yes. There was no way any human being. So the law gave the devil leverage, an opportunity to handle man. When man can't do the law, the devil say, you can't do, you couldn't do it. You are fallen. Yes. The devil is a lawyer. And the documents he used to accuse man was the law. So when Jesus came, he dealt with the document so that the lawyer would not have anything to do. Are you seeing it? Keep your finger here. Go back to, you remember we were in Ephesians 2 some time back. Go back to Ephesians 2. Let's read verse 14 now. Ephesians 2 verse 14. That's what Jesus did. Ephesians 2 verse 14. For he is our peace. You remember this? Who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us? What was the middle wall of partition between us? Next verse. Having abolished in his flesh. When Jesus was on a cross, his flesh, his body. Jesus' body was a special body. It's a body that was given to contain sin, to remove sin, to take away the law, everything. He says, having abolished in his flesh, the enmity, what was the enmity? Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. The law was the enemy that separated Jews and Gentiles and separated man from God. Can you imagine? Jesus abolished it. Can you imagine? Do you understand abolish? Abolish means abolish. To remove. He says, having abolished in his flesh, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, one new man, so making peace. So whilst he was hanging on the cross, okay, it says, okay, continue. The next verse, it says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. What was the enmity thereby? Jesus slew or killed or destroyed or abolished the law. He fulfilled it and he abolished it. He set it aside. So he nailed it. It was nailed. As Jesus was hanging on the cross, the law was nailed to the cross. And there's a reason for it. He nailed the law to the cross so that Satan will not have a place. Legally. Why? Because man needed to be judged. Man needed to be judged, right? For the wages of sin is what? So man needed to die because man had done sin. He had sinned. He was guilty. So he needed to die. So the devil was saying he needs to die. He has broken the laws. Everything, including the one you even documented, gave to Moses. Even right, he's sitting, he's done something wrong. It's here. Look at it. All the documents, whatever. It's here. This is the evidence. When I did wrong, you handled me. You cast me out. These guys have done something wrong. Cast them out. That was what he was doing. Are you in the church? So Jesus says something in John chapter, what verse is that? John chapter 12, verse 31. It just flew out of my mind. It has come back. John chapter 12, verse 31. How many verses do you have? Plenty. But is it making sense for you? Is it helping you? Okay, now look at this. Now is the judgment of this world. Can you put it together? 31 and 32. Now is the judgment of this world. The world was going to be judged. How was it? What had the world done? The world has sinned. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus said, now, not tomorrow, now is the judgment of the world. And who was going to be judged? He, Jesus, was going to be judged on the behalf of the world. Can you put 31 and 32 together? Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. When the world is judged, the prince of this world, who is the prince of this world? Satan. Satan is the prince of this world. It says, now shall Satan be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. All what? All the judgment of this world. When I'm lifted up, how was Jesus lifted up? Or when was he lifted up? On the cross. On the cross, Jesus was lifted in between heaven and the earth. Heaven rejected him. The earth also rejected him. He was abandoned. And as he hung on the cross, he was judged for the sin of man. For what purpose? So that Satan can be dealt with. He says, now is the judgment of this world. When I'm judged for sin, Satan will be cast out. Satan will lose his employment. Satan will be dealt with. Satan will be removed completely. Are you in the church? So the law had everything to do with Satan. And the judgment of this world had everything to do with Satan. So as Jesus hung on the cross, he didn't say that. You see, this one says, I'll draw all men. It's not so. It's a good Bible will not write men. There's no men in that particular place. A good Bible will have the men in italics, meaning that they put it there. It wasn't there in the original rendering. It is not an eye I've lifted up. Now is the judge of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men. The word men is not supposed to be there. If you have a good Bible, do you have a good Bible? It's in italics, meaning that it is not that the translators put it there. If you are in the Bible and you see italics or something in brackets, in square brackets, it means that it was not supposed to be there. They put it there. It's not in the original manuscript. So Jesus was not talking about drawing all men to himself. No, he was talking about drawing all judgment of man unto himself. Are you in the church? So as he hung on the cross, he drew all the judgment of man unto himself. And he died so that Satan will lose his employment. He redeems your life from all destruction, from the pit. Are you in the church? Go back to Colossians chapter 2, where we're reading. Blotting out. Let's read from verse 13 again, okay? Hello? Are you tired?
No.
I thought you came to encounter grace.
Yes.
Are you encountering grace?
Yes.
Are you seeing all that Jesus has done for you?
Yes.
It's amazing. Too much. Too much. He says, and you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened or made alive with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Next verse. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance, all the handwriting of ordinance, the law that was written against us, says it was against us, which was contrary to us. It was contrary to man. And he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Next verse. Let's read a lighter verse. I think NLT will help. NLT. Go to NLT verse 14. Verse 14. Can you read it together? Let's read it together. One, two, go. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Next verse. In this way, have you seen it? In what way? In nailing the law to the cross, in this way, continue, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So on the cross, Jesus had victory over the devil. Are you in the church? That is why we must have crosses in our church. On top of our churches. Because the cross is something very important that God chose. It is his instrument of dealing with the problems of man. Yeah. He handled the law, which strengthens sin. And by doing that, he handled Satan. So Satan has no power. He has no power now over you. Because what he would have used to accuse you has been dealt with. Can you imagine? It's been dealt with. But if you don't know, he will mafia you. Yeah. If you look at God, you are in trouble. As many as are off the works of the law are under the curse. Maybe next time when I come, I'll talk about that. Yes. You try, you're under the curse. You try to do good, get good with God. It doesn't work. Because I've done this, I've cleaned the chairs in the church, so God should bless me. Clean the chairs in the church because you love God. And you understand what he has done for you. Not because you're expecting something from him. What won't he give to you? If he has already given you his son, what else will he not give to you? Why are you cleaning chairs to get something from him? Are you okay? No, you shouldn't clean chairs to get something from him. You are cleaning chairs because you love him. He's done too much for you, so you love him. Not because you're expecting something to come. No. So that you get a good husband. I'm cleaning the chair so I can get... Oh. Charlie. A good husband has been secured for you in Christ already. Are you in the church or have gone home? Yeah. In this way, he disarmed them. Yes. So, go back to Psalm 103 verse 4. Who redeemed thy life from destruction or from the pit? What destruction? Satan, the law. I've described Satan, I've described the law, right? Yes. Can you imagine that we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principality and power? The devil has been dethroned. We are now enthroned. And power and might. We are enthroned. They have been dethroned. But if you don't know, they will be enthroned in your life. He's been dealt with. Okay? Who redeems your life from the pit and corruption? Corruption. Death is another one. Death. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. Do you know what Jesus did to handle death for you? Look at it. Hebrews 2 verse 14. Why is Jesus doing all these things? Fellowship. The goal of grace is fellowship with the Spirit. Are you in the church? For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, Jesus also likewise took part of the same. He took part to become flesh and blood. For what purpose? So that through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Are you seeing what I'm saying? He says that he might destroy him that had the power of death. He doesn't have it anymore. That is the devil. He destroyed him. Next verse. The word destroy means to unemploy. He unemployed him. So the devil cannot sanction your death. The devil cannot say, kill him. He cannot say that. Kill who? And deliver. Jesus died, tasted death for all of us. So that, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He says, all those who are afraid of death should not be afraid of death anymore. Why? Because Jesus has handled death. Jesus tasted death so that you will not die. He has redeemed your life from all destruction, from the pit. That's why he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:21. Do you love the Bible? Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether it be like, look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas of the world, or life or death, or things present, or things to come. All are yours. All is yours. Say, death is mine. Can you imagine that death that was supposed to break man's neck is now for man? God, Jesus has given it to us. Why? Because of fellowship. Because of, he doesn't want death or fear of death to distract you at all. Because some people are always afraid of death. I'm going to die. I don't know. I did this. I did that. Shun that rough day. Stop that rough day. Put that aside. Why are you afraid of dying? Says he doesn't want you to be afraid of dying. So that you can. Listen, Paul said, whether alive or dead, we are always with him. What shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Are you in the church? Yes. So he redeems your life from the pit, from hell, from death, from Satan, from the law, and also from guilt and condemnation. Can you imagine Jesus doesn't want you to feel guilty if something should go off, if you should do something wrong, and then there's guilt knocking on your door. Your conscience is accusing you. Remember, God doesn't accuse you. Can you imagine God? Do you remember that you are standing before? God knows that you are standing before him holy, without blame, perfect, before him in love. Do you remember that? So God doesn't accuse you. Who accuses you? The devil. The devil employs your conscience to accuse you. Romans chapter 8. Let's read from verse 33. Can we read? Let's read it in a lighter version so we can understand it, okay? All the accusation. God doesn't want you to be like you are feeling condemned because you did something wrong. You are feeling so guilty for 6 months. 6 months, you have been guilty about this particular thing you did. You just lost 6 months of fellowship, sweet fellowship with the Lord. That's what you just lost six months of sweet fellowship with the Spirit, which could have developed your life in a proper way and made you born more fruits and made you have more results and made you a better person. You have allowed guilt and condemnation to deny you. For 6 months, half a year. Some even go for 6 months, 6 years. You stop coming to church. You've stopped praying. You don't pick your shepherd's calls. All these problems. Why? Because you're feeling guilty for something you did. You don't know that God paid for your guilt. Even your guilt, Jesus paid for your guilt. He doesn't want you to feel guilty. Do you understand what I'm saying? God doesn't want you to feel guilty when you do something wrong. Why? He doesn't want you to lose any time of sweetness with him. That's why he did that. It's a jealous God. Look at this. It says, who dares accuse us? Who dares accuse us? Whom God has chosen for his own? Who? No one. Why? For God himself has given us right standing with himself. It is God who has done it. So God is not accusing you. Next verse. Who then will condemn us? No one. Why? For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. He's always interceding for us. When you do something wrong and you're feeling guilty, you shouldn't feel guilty. Don't feel guilty. It's been dealt with. Can you imagine? The blood has covered it. What I'm saying is outrageous, isn't it? It's called gospel. Too good to be true news. But that's the truth. God doesn't want you to feel bad. Why? Because Jesus paid. Even for your feeling bad. Apart from paying for your sin, he paid for you not to feel bad. When you do something wrong, he paid for it too. Isaiah chapter. Why? Why did he do all these things? Always remember why. For what? Fellowship. Are you getting it? Yeah. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11. Let's read verse 10. He says, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush Jesus. God, it was part of God's plan to crush him. Why? Because he was our substitute. He was our representative. So when he was crushing him, he was crushing us. But it was God's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. Now the word offering says he's made an offering for sin. The word offering for sin is asham. The Hebrew word is asham. Asham means offering, guilt offering. There were different types of offering. There was the priest offering. There was a sin offering. There was a trespass offering, which is the guilt offering. That's the word that is used here. Trespass offering, guilt offering. Let's read Amplified. I think Amplified says it. It's not saying it. It says, when you and he make his life an offering for sin, he's made. It's not saying it. Check if anyone says it's guilt offering. Check any of the other versions. It's the offering, the guilt offering. There was an offering in the Old Testament for guilt. Can you imagine? So that people will not feel guilty. So there's an offering for guilt in the New Testament as well, which is Jesus himself. Look at this. This is God's word. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him with suffering. When the Lord has made his life a sacrifice for our wrongdoings. This one is not even his wrongdoings. Eh? But if you check the Hebrew, my God, check the Hebrew for us. It uses the word asham. Is it there or is it not there? This is what? YLT. Beautiful. And Jehovah has delighted to bruise him. He has made him sick. If his soul does make an offering for guilt. Have you seen it? His soul has made an offering for guilt. He seeth seed. He prolongeth days. And the pleasure of Jehovah in his hand doth prosper. Hallelujah. Yeah. So Jesus was made an offering for sin. The guilt offering. So that you will not be guilty. You will not feel guilty. When Jesus died, your guilt died. Jesus was put to shame. You know Jesus was crucified, stark naked. There was nothing on. It's so shameful that we put something around his waist in the movies and on the crosses because it's shameful. Yeah. Jesus was put to shame so that you will not feel shame. Hello? Yeah. When Jesus died, your guilt died. Because guilt and condemnation is the number one cause of doing more sin. Sinning more and going down more. Guilt and condemnation. Guilt and condemnation says, I'll punish myself for what I did. I deserve to be punished. That's what you are saying. You see, the goal of grace is fellowship with the Spirit. Can I prove that to you now? Let me just cut this one short and finish up. I would have spoken about all the other things, all the other benefits, but because of time and because you are sleeping. No, I also not finish. So let me just show you. I want to answer this question. What is the goal of grace? The answer is fellowship with the Spirit. Now, what is the proof that it is really fellowship with the Spirit? I've showed you one in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, right? The grace, the love, the fellowship. The love goes to grace. Grace goes to fellowship. Okay? But grace, who is grace? Jesus is grace, right? When Jesus was about to die, in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus said something when he took the communion. Grace pointed us to the Spirit in his final days. Grace, that's Jesus, pointed us to the Spirit in his final days. Matthew 26, verse 26, it says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took up the cup and gave thanks, and he gave it to them, and them saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Let's read NLT so we can understand. Jesus even said it. Jesus said why, what his blood was for. For this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of who? Many. So Jesus said it with his own mouth. My blood was given for the forgiveness of the sins of many. My body was broken for the healing of all. Have you seen it? After Jesus had done this, the next thing he did was to start talking about the Holy Spirit. When Jesus spoke about his blood, what his blood was going to accomplish, what divine grace was going to accomplish, the next thing he spoke about was the Spirit. So all that Jesus spoke about after this act is written in John chapter 14. You see from John chapter 13. You see, this one, Judas was not part of this one. Judas was not part of the communion. Judas was part of the Lord's Supper, but he was not part of the communion, the Lord's table. He was not part. When they were eating, Jesus took food, some of the food, and put it in wine and gave it to him. They were asking him. Everybody was asking, Lord, is it I who's going to betray? Because he has said that, if you go up, you see it. He has said that one of you is going to betray me. And all of them said, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Only Judas said, Master, is it I? He didn't consider Jesus as Lord. He's the only one who said, Master. You can read this up here. While they were, let's read King James. King James. While they were eating, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Next verse. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Everybody said it. Look at Judas's own is down. And he said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. 25. The Son of Man goeth as is written of him. But woe unto him that, even Jesus warned him. He's sitting there, Jesus is warning. Right now, the Son of Man goeth as is written of him. But woe unto him, unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Yes. After all this, look at Judas. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master. He's the only one who didn't say Lord. He never thought of Jesus as his Lord. So those of you have been asking, is Judas going to go to heaven? He never thought of Jesus as his Lord. He thought of him as his Master. Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. You have said it. He called him Rabbi, teacher. Yeah. So after he gave it to him, he went out to go and betray him. Now, after he left, then Jesus instituted the communion. Because the communion is eating with his lovers. Then he introduced his lovers to the Spirit. So Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit 5 times. Between John chapter 14, John chapter 13, and John chapter 17. Spoke about him 5 times. And he was giving his last words. He introduced the Holy Spirit after he has spoken about what he had come to do. What have I come to do? I've come to shed my blood for the remission, for the forgiveness of the sins of the many. For what purpose? So that many will be in fellowship with the Spirit. Are you seeing it? Yes. So the first time he mentions it, John chapter 15, he mentions the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So this is the proof that grace points us to the Spirit. It's all over. John 14, verse 15. Look at John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Next verse, please. And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. He dwelleth with you in me, Jesus, but he shall be in you very soon. Jesus is God with us. The Holy Spirit is God in us for the purpose of intimacy. Are you in the church? So that's the first evidence. Jesus proved it. Then Paul also mentioned 2 Corinthians 13, 14. Apart from that, even Romans 8 mentions the Spirit. The reason for salvation is the Spirit. It's intimacy, basically. Even Jesus mentioned John chapter 17, verse 3. Look at John 17, 3. Oh, hallelujah. So you can't be someone who has received grace without fellowshiping with the Spirit. Like, it's like you are joking. The reason for the grace, the reason for the forgiveness of sin, the reason for your sickness being taken away, the reason for Satan being dealt with, the reason for the Lord being dealt with, the reason for guilt being dealt with, all is so that you can have intimacy with the Spirit. And this is eternal life. Jesus is telling, he's talking to them. Says, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only God, true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The reason for eternal life is so that we may know God and Jesus Christ. God gives us eternal life for what purpose? For us to know God, for fellowship. That's why Paul said, that I may know him. Righteousness, the basis of righteousness. Righteousness is the basis for knowledge, for intimacy with God. Are you in a church? Or you have gone home? You are here. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans, let's see from verse 10. All that I said was one out of three of my messages, of my message. All that I've said is just one. It's three categories. So I'm now in category two. And then it would have led us into category three. But we'll end here. Oh, we have many. Are you dying now? You are not dying now. We are going to be here for a long time. We have life. And until you know all these things and live them, God, Jesus is not coming. Yeah, so we have to know them. Look at this. It says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Righteousness is one of the, I didn't talk about it because it was point, that was the next, he redeemed thy life from sin. The next thing is that he crowned thy life with loving kindness and with mercies. That is righteousness. Righteousness is a place where God crowns you with favor, with mercy. Because you are now in the Son's place, you enjoy what the Son enjoys. You enjoy the inheritance the Son enjoys. You enjoy everything. That's righteousness. Righteousness is the biggest blessing of the New Testament. Righteousness is the reason why we have eternal life. And righteousness is the reason why we are given the aim of you see? Hallelujah. I'm pressed against time. So listen now. Have you read Romans 5:17 before? Can you read Romans 5:17? For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, how much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Have you seen it? How much more they which receive abundance of grace? The word end is actually even. So it's supposed to read this way. How much more they which receive abundance of grace, even the gift of righteousness. So grace, the abundance of grace is actually the gift of righteousness. When I preach at Believers' Convention, I preach about the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham is one, righteousness. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for what? For righteousness. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Look at Romans 4, 3. For what's here the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Righteousness is the summation of grace. Grace has a purpose of making you righteous for the purpose of intimacy with God. Because righteousness is you being in the Son's place so that God can fellowship with you. So righteousness is actual, sorry, grace is actually righteousness. The abundance of grace, even the righteousness of God. Is there a version that says indeed? The word end is indeed. Yeah, it's actually even. That's a Greek. Indeed, the righteousness of God. Even the righteousness of God. Are you in the church?
Yes.
Also, the righteousness of God. So, grace is abundant grace, actually righteousness. Okay? Now, what is the purpose? Righteousness gives, righteousness is a foundation for eternal life. There are three cardinal gifts that are given to us in the new birth. The first one is actually righteousness. Because without righteousness, you cannot receive the gift of eternal life. It's a ticket for eternal life. That's what we're reading in Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 10. Eh? And if Christ be in you, even though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit, your spirit is actually alive because of righteousness. Your spirit has eternal life because of righteousness. That's what the word spirit there is actually small spirit. It's your human spirit. NLT. Let's read NLT. Can you read this to me? One, two, go. It's powerful, but it's actually not what he's saying. Let's read. It's true. The Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit gives your spirit life. Okay? Eternal life is given because of righteousness. I think maybe, I don't know if message you say it. Let's see what message says. It's not saying it well. Amplified. Look at this. But if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the spirit is alive. You see, he uses the word small spirit, right? Small, that's your human. Your human spirit is alive. Why? Because of the righteousness that he imputes to you. So righteousness is what allows you to receive eternal life. Okay? And righteousness is what allows you to have the spirit. The reason for righteousness or the reason for grace is for you to have the spirit. That's in Galatians 3, verse 13. Look at Galatians 3, 13. What's the reason for eternal life? For intimacy with God. Isn't it? That they may know the true God and Jesus Christ. This is eternal life. That they may know thee, the true God and eternal life. So eternal life is given for the purpose of intimacy. And the spirit is given for the purpose of intimacy. So all the gifts we receive, it's called the Paraclete. It's to bring you, called to walk with you, alongside with you, into intimacy, like a husband walks with a wife. Okay? Look at this. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. He's spoken about all that God did, Jesus did. All that I've spoken about is what he has mentioned in this verse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse everyone that hangeth on a cross, on a tree, where tree is crossed. Why did he hang on the cross? Next verse. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. What is the blessing of Abraham? Righteousness. Have you seen it? So that the blessing of Abraham can come to us, which is righteousness. For what purpose? So that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the aim of grace is the spirit. Does it make sense to you now? Yes. So that's it. That is the reason for us having all these things. Jesus doing all these things for us so that we can have intimacy with the spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go to chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. There's another proof in Galatians chapter 4. Verse 4. Galatians 4, 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth a son, made of a woman, made under the law. For what purpose? To redeem them that were under the law. You remember, we've spoken about all this. For what purpose? So that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's through eternal life, right? Next verse. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Have you seen it? So the reason for eternal, the reason why Jesus came is so that he can send the Spirit into you. For you to have intimacy with the Father, have the opportunity to call the Father Abba, the most, the deepest size of relationship with the Father. Hallelujah. Now, what is the purpose of the Spirit? Now that we know the purpose, the goal of grace. The goal of grace is the Spirit. So now that we know that the goal of grace is the Spirit, what does the Spirit do? The Spirit brings you back into the love of the Father and brings you back into the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's pick the love of the Father. Let's just pick that briefly and then pick grace briefly and then we'll go. I'll just mention three or four verses from on both sides, on each side. Can you imagine what the Holy Spirit does? Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14. I was showing it to you. John chapter 14, verse 16. Look at John 14, 16. Wow. And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Next verse. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The word comfortless is orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. So one of the first things the Holy Spirit does for you, who knows grace, is to make sure you're exposed to the fatherhood of God. Without the Holy Spirit, you'll be an orphan in this world. You have the Spirit, an orphan spirit. Are you in the church? The Holy Spirit introduces us into the love of the Father. Maybe you don't know the love of the Father. How can you be an evangelist without the love of the Father? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You will never know how important it is to win souls until you understand the love of the Father. And the Holy Spirit's ministry, the Holy Spirit's job is to direct your heart into the love of the Father. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. The Holy Spirit exposes you to the love of the Father. You need the fatherhood. You need to understand the fatherhood of God, or else you will not enjoy life as you're supposed to. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. By who? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Holy Spirit has a responsibility of shedding the love of God abroad in your heart. What about the love of God? The Holy Spirit makes you know how much God loves you. What did God do because of his love for you? He sent his Son. Right? So the Holy Spirit has a job, has a ministry of making you know how much you have been loved. He has a mission of making you know how much you have been forgiven. All the things I mentioned, the Holy Spirit is the one to reveal them to your heart. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot have them. Are you in the church? Yeah. Look at John chapter 17. Jesus said, and I have declared unto them thy name. He's talking about the Father. He says, I've declared unto you people thy name, the name of the Father. And who declared? Jesus declared the name of the Father whilst he was on earth. And now that he's in heaven, he's declaring the name of the Father now. So that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. He says, I want them to know how much you have loved me. Because that's the same way you love them. What did God do for? You know, Jesus came to reveal the Father, right? He says, no man has seen the Father at any time. It's the Son who has declared him. That's the ministry the Holy Spirit continues today. To declare unto you the fatherhood of God. Your worthiness will leave when you understand the fatherhood of God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. I'm closing. Little children. No, go up. Go to verse 14. It's too much. We've gone too far. Verse 14. Verse 14, quickly. Verse 15. Look at this. This love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, what is the problem? The love of the Father is not in him. So people love the world because the love of the Father is not in them. They don't know the love of the Father. And guess what? The Holy Spirit's ministry is to make you know the love of the Father. The goal of grace is to make you know the Spirit, who will help you know the love of the Father so that your worthiness will live. You see, why are you listening to that song? All those songs, Why are you having sex all over the place? Because you don't know that the Father has loved you so much. He's going to give you there's more fulfillment in the Father than there is in sex. There's more fulfillment in the Father. You see, that the Father will satisfy. If God gave you the Son Jesus Christ, why will he not with him also freely give you all things? Why will he withhold from you money? Why are you trying to cheat and gamble and do all kinds of foolish things to get money? It's because you don't know how much the Father has loved you. He sends the Spirit of his Son in you so that you can cry, Abba, Father, to get to know the fatherhood of God, which curbs you from foolishness. Are you in the church? That's the blessing of the Holy Spirit. The fatherhood of God. I wish I had more time to talk about it because I could have shared so many things with it. But we don't have time. People are standing at the door. They are tired. Then, the other thing that the Holy Spirit does for you is that the Holy Spirit, Jesus said that when he comes, John chapter 16, verse 13. Look at John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. Verse 14. Then he says, he shall glorify me. The Holy Spirit has a ministry of glorifying Jesus. Who is Jesus? Grace. He has a ministry of glorifying Jesus and his work. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. If you don't know, Jesus has been made the heir of all things. And we are now joint heirs together with Christ. And we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit of God, so that you might know the things that are freely given to us. The law says, work for the things, but grace says, it has been given to you freely. Who makes that known to you? The Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you will not know the person of Jesus. That's why Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. I pray that you may get to know, you may receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So that you get, he says, you receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge. To get to know Jesus. To get to know Jesus. To get to know the person of Jesus. Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does for you. He makes you know Jesus. Then he makes you know his plan. What is the exceeding greatness of his inheritance that is at work in you? Then he lets you know his power. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power that is at work in you and for you? Are you seeing what I'm talking about? Well, the Holy Spirit reveals, he says, he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. All that the Father has are mine. The Holy Spirit is the one to let you know that you have been glorified with Jesus. He's the one to show it. Without him, you cannot know. It's not possible. He is the administrator of everything that God has. That is why God did all that he did for you to come to him, the Holy Spirit, for him to show you everything and help you. He's the one to make real the blessing of healing. He makes it real in your body because you can know it in your head and not experience it in your body. You can know it in your head that you are prosperous, but you will never experience it because of your lack of fellowship with the Spirit. Yes. He will let you know the power of God has at work in you. Through fellowship. As you fellowship with him, he brings you knowledge of the Father, the love of the Father, and brings you knowledge of the Son and what he has accomplished for you. And he impresses it on your heart. It's called the Fortizo effect. He gives you, that's the name of this place, right? He gives you pictures and videos in your imagination. It will not work until it enters your imagination. You will not see it physically until it enters your imagination. And guess who makes it real to you? The Holy Spirit. That's the reason God gave. God did all the things he did so that you can come into fellowship with the Spirit. He directs the love of the Father into your heart. And he directs the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into your heart. For you to live a beautiful life here on earth. So that when you meet him, you don't regret. You'd have lived a full life here before you meet him. He will make you prosperous practically. Literally, he will show you. That's why he said in Romans chapter 8, the whole of Romans chapter 8 is directing to the Holy Spirit. He says, we are debtors not to live again after the flesh. Now that you are saved, you want to live after the flesh. He says, you don't understand. But that's okay. We are debtors to live after the Spirit. The whole of the law is called the ministration of death. The whole of grace is called the ministration of the Spirit. The Spirit ministers grace. Ministers grace. Are you in the church? It's the Spirit of grace. And he ministers grace. That's a goal of grace. The one who has really received grace will speak in tongues often. Not hanging around to do the next sin. That's not what the grace of God teaches us. That, so those who teach grace without talking about the goal of grace, without talking about the Spirit, always create a problem. Yeah. That's why today I'm telling you about the aim. You've not been forgiven to fool around. You've been forgiven to have intimacy constantly, no matter what's going on. Yeah. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. The euthesia, they are the ones who enjoy the inheritance practically. Yes, those who are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. The more you receive grace, the more you know the Spirit. And the more you know the Spirit, the more you know the love of the Father. And the more you receive grace, the more you know the Spirit. It goes like that. That's Christianity. And then it makes your life better everywhere. You say your character is just changing because the Holy Spirit can talk to you now. Can tell you what you're doing is wrong and you stop. It can tell you, you cannot, how can you have the Holy Spirit and be fooling around? No. Cannot be fooling around. No. He will show you things to come. He will reveal your life to you, I tell you. Yeah. He will show you the future. I do not lack any good thing. Yeah. Because the Holy Spirit is working in me. Showing me grace. More and more. Yeah. You know, one of the things the Holy Spirit does is to convince you of righteousness. Do you know? John chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus said, it is expedient, advantageous for you that I leave. Can you imagine that? Jesus, who is the grace of God, says that it's good I go. Because without the Spirit, grace cannot be ministered to you. And the love of the Father cannot be. He says, it's good, it's expedient that I leave you. It's advantageous for you that I go away. If I go not away, this comforter will not come. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin. He will teach you what it means to go on evangelism. Without him, you will not be interested in evangelism. He will show you the conviction that the world is under and help you bring them in. Then he says, and of righteousness and of judgment. Next verse. Of sin because they believe not in me. The world is condemned because they don't believe in Jesus Christ. Why don't they believe? Even though it's good news, they don't believe. The Holy Spirit will work on you, train you, help you to be a witness. And speak for people to receive Christ. Then he has a ministry. Next verse. He says, of righteousness because I go to the Father and he see me no more. He has a ministry of convicting you of righteousness. He keeps reminding you that you are the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God. No matter what's going on, you are the righteousness of God. No matter what's going on, you are the righteousness of God. That's his ministry. Then he has another ministry of letting you know. Next verse. And of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. He lets you know that the prince of this world, the devil, has been judged. He's been dealt with. You don't need to be afraid of the devil. Only the Holy Spirit can make these things real. The Holy Spirit is the administrator of everything God owns. Oh. Do you know? Without him, you are joking. How many, do you see I'm not using any notes. Who is the one reminding me of the things that I'm talking about? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Nobody else. It's the Holy Spirit. It's not because I have a very big memory. No. It's the Holy Spirit who brings the things to my mind. In your deepest darkness, of deepest depths of darkness, he will let you know who you are. He will remind you of who you are. That's his job, to minister to you the word. Minister to you and let you know how much the Father has loved you. If he gave you his son, why will he not give you a good husband? What is a good husband? If he gave you his son, why will he not give you a good job? God loves me too much to not give me a good job. God loves me too much to not give me a good family. God loves me too much to not give me a good car. What is a car? He gave me his son. He loved me. He gave me his son. How much more a car? That's what the Holy Spirit does for you. But without the Holy Spirit, you'll be looking for a car with many. You'll be sleeping around with different people. You'll be fighting. You'll be lying for it. As a Christian, you'll be doing all kinds of things. Yeah. I wish I had the opportunity to preach the third part of my message. I was talking about the Spirit of life. In Christ Jesus. That's a spirit. The Holy Spirit is not only a person, it's also a law. Yes. The Holy Spirit is also a law who helps you to live the way God wants to live. Hallelujah. Yeah. Say, I'll never be poor in my life. You know, one of the beautiful things about the grace of God is that the grace of God, he says, for you know the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. That you, through his poverty, might be rich. Can you imagine that one of the major things Jesus decided to do was to die in poverty, having nothing, so that you will live in prosperity. And guess who administers that to you? The Holy Spirit. That's why every morning when you wake up, you have to greet the Holy Spirit. Good morning, Holy Spirit. What do you want me to do today? How do you want it to be today? And he will lead you and guide you into the love of the Father, and lead you and guide you into the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that you can have real benefit for your life every single day. Stand up and thank God for what you're sharing with me. Hallelujah. Can you thank God in just a minute for what you have shared with you? Father, we are grateful. Father, we are thankful. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. How many of you, who knows how to sing it? Precious love of God, Messiah. Holy One. How many of you know that song? We used to sing it when we were in school. It's a very powerful song. Redeemer. Can you project the words if you have them?
Jesus, God's own Son.
Of what I preach.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son, and even your Spirit.
The Redeemer. Let's start it from the top.
There is a Redeemer.
Jesus, God's Son.
Jesus, God's own Son.
Precious Lamb.
Precious Lamb of God.
Sing it again. There's a Redeemer.
There is a Redeemer.
There is a
Jesus, God's own.
Jesus, God's own Son.
Precious Lamb of God.
Precious Lamb of God. Messiah.
For the Son, are you grateful that he gave you the Son?
And even your spirit tells your word on earth.
suffering from a sickness, from a disease, listen, Jesus has healed you. He took your sickness before the foundations of the earth so that you will not suffer with sickness. I pray for healing for you today. I declare your healing today, right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I declare that you are healed from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. You are in the Son's place, the place of righteousness, where there's no sickness or disease or infirmity. I command every sickness, every chronic sickness, every disease, genetic disease that has been in your body for all these years to leave now in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. I command your freedom and your liberty. I declare that you are free. You are free and healed. Every demonic activity that has been going on in your mind is removed completely now in the name of the Lord Jesus. I declare your freedom in your mind. I declare that you can think freely without any limitations in the name of the Lord Jesus. What has been blocking you from relating and from relating with the Lord is taken away in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for healing and health for every single one, even in Jesus' name. Now you may be here, you are not born again. Listen, you are losing out on something great. Jesus came to remove your sin. Why would you go to, would you want to go to hell for nothing? You are here, you've not given your life to Christ. I want to give you the opportunity today, tonight, to receive Christ, to make Jesus the Lord of your life, to have Jesus come into your life and rule and reign in your life, so that when you leave this world, you will be with your Father in the heavenlies. You want to give your life to Christ? I want you to lift up your right hand very high. You want to give your life to Christ this evening? Lift up your hand very high. Your right hand very high. I'll give you the opportunity to be led to Christ. I can see your hand, my dear. I can see your hand, my dear. I can see your hand. I can see your hand. There's no need for you to go to hell. There's no need for you to walk around with your sin. The price has been paid. Is the devil wants you to go to hell? Is the devil who's making you shy to not lift your hand? Lift your hand right now. And I want you, I can see your hand. Ushers, help me bring them. Kindly come forward right now. I want to lead you to Christ. I can see your hand in the corner over there. I can see your hand in the corner. Come. Come to me, my dear. Come and make Jesus the Lord of your life. Come. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. This is your day. You never know when the Lord will call you. You never know when the Lord will say, it's enough. You can't continue. Come right now. Don't be afraid. My brother in the corner, come. 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 Yes, come. We have time for this. We have time for this. It's very important. Come. Come. It's called good news. Christ died for you. You don't need to die. You don't need to go down to hell. Jesus loves you so much. He gave himself for you. Come. 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 Come to Jesus. 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 Yes. Come. Come. We have time for you. Come. Come. Hallelujah. I want you to close your eyes, those of you who are in front here, and I want you to pray this prayer after me as you declare. The Bible says that if you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. We want to practice that right now. I want you to open your mouth and say this prayer after me. Say, thank you, God, for sending your son. Close your eyes, my brother. Close your eyes. Thank you, God, for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for the purpose of removing my sins. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, for me to be made righteous, for me to be accepted. Thank you, Father, for washing me away from my sins with the blood of Jesus. I am grateful and I am thankful. I declare boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit from today. Thank you, Father, for making me your son. Satan, you have no place in my life. I've been taken from your kingdom into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I'm a born-again child of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for making me your son, for making me your daughter. I am grateful. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Congratulations. Welcome to the family of God.
God bless you for listening. We pray that the word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app, plug in, and enjoy God's word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless you.